Hi, and welcome to Bye Bye Bye. I'm Imogen.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Claire.
We did do really well there, so just a couple of weeks off didn't hurt us too badly. Hi, welcome back. We had a holiday.
Welcome to our very first episode. What? No.
Yeah.
Feels like an episode of 2019. Yeah, it does feel like it's the first episode. Yeah. I've forgotten what
welcome
we're doing.
Welcome to the future. I don't know what we're doing here.
That's a better title.
Welcome to the future.
No one knows what
I don't know if we could
what?
Claim that we ever knew what we were doing, though. So yeah. What is that?
That's true. Oh, so today we're going to do the year 2019 survival guide.
That's a good idea.
Pretend like we know how to survive.
Pretend like we know what we're doing.
It's the faking it till you make it podcast.
Yep. Oh. Fake it till you make it or break it. Too badly to fix.
Useful in all aspects of life.
Oh dear.
Boy. Okay, we'll start off with our good friend, Closeted in Canada, who hasn't been around a lot lately.
Like, no. I haven't. Well, it has been
to be fair, we also haven't been.
To be fair. She writes to ask, how do you balance support for loved ones with your own mental health?
Oh, God. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
How indeed?
Couldn't have given us a softball right off the bat.
No.
Into the deep end. Okay.
Yeah.
This is how we roll, guys.
I mean, I find, not from the support giver aspect, but from the person needing support usually, it's good to check in on the person you're talking with. I mean, if someone seems really bogged down, I don't want to add to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the whole thing about having a whole support system and not a support person, because that one person can't take it.
Something that I think I've learned the hard way over the last couple of years is you've got to be honest about your ability to take on other people's stuff.
Yeah, you know, like, you gotta be able to tell people if it's too much for you right now.
Yeah, like Baby Bye's favorite metaphor is you can't drink from an empty glass.
Yeah.
And mine is put on your own oxygen mask first. You know, it just have to be, because they're not, chances are the person you're supporting isn't going to ask.
Yeah.
Unless it's you guys. You two are very good about it.
I think we've been down that road, though, where we've given too much out.
Plus, I think that it's hard when you're in the position where you need help to notice that other people are also, because, I mean, it's not because I think people get selfish. It just becomes hard to see anything beyond your own crap after a while. So,
Depression
it's good to assert yourself if you can't take anymore, because they probably don't want to, you know, inconvenience or hurt you, but they just might not notice that.
I think a lot of mental health is inherently selfish anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't mean that makes the person selfish or anything. It just
but it kind of narrows things.
Yeah, narrows your focus down, and you're not going to do them any good if you don't tell them, "Hey, I can't handle this right now."
Yeah, I tend to be bad at that and just disappear, which is not good of me, but it's just a case of me. When stuff gets overwhelming for me, I don't tend to reach out. I tend to just shut off and go and do my own thing. It's a coping mechanism. It works for me usually, so it's not a huge problem. But it's nice that some people do.
Yeah, I try to at least be better about giving people a heads up, because I also do that. Mm. Just to know that, like, it's like I'm still alive. I just can't. I can't right now.
And I think the problem, I think often with that case, when I do disappear, it tends to be around periods when I'm having a rough time and other people are having a rough time too. So I'm like, okay, if I take myself out of the equation, then I can't be burdened with other people's stuff either. So it's kind of a self-defense mechanism. Yeah. And it's just like,
although, you know, I think that's probably when I'm best about telling people why I'm disappearing, because I don't want them worrying about me while they're worrying about their own shit.
Yeah.
I'm better at telling people when I'm going to shut down. Like, I think the last couple of times I've done it, I just checked in with you guys and said,
"Yeah,
I'm off the air for a bit because I'm feeling like shit. Yeah. I'll be back soon."
Because yeah, I used to not at all. I would just
go. Yeah, what you really need is a super neurotic friend who picks up on like patterns of behavior to the point of obsessiveness.
Where would we find one of those?
Who will check in the moment anything is out of the ordinary. But those are hard to find.
I love it when you do check in with me, Brandon, because you check in with me one day when I'm actually just having a really freaking good day. And because I'm having a really good day, I'm not online. I'm just like partying or something, and you're like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, Yeah.
I'm actually probably better about checking in ahead of time when I know I'm going to be doing something fun or something, and I'm going to disappear. So it's like, don't worry, I'm going to be off, I don't know, camping or
I'm going to disappear for a week, guys. Don't freak out.
Speaking of which, sorry, I don't know why I'm yawning. I do know why I'm yawning. It's because it's our thing.
Yeah, it is.
But also, I think the other thing
sleep with our mascot.
It's not doing a great job, our mascot, at the moment. The other thing about when people balancing that is that you do have to make sure you understand that it's a give and take, and that both people understand it's a give and take. I mean, if you're talking about dealing with your own partner's issues,
yeah.
That's a different kettle of fish than just dealing with friends, because then you're actually there. Part of your obligation, I think, in a relationship is to help people through that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You're always there with them. So, I mean, you can't really.
You can't disappear. You can't disappear if you sleep in the same bed. It's hard.
I mean, I did. I used to. I would jump in the car and just leave.
Oh, God.
I wouldn't be gone for that long, but I would just, I would drive around for a long time until I felt like I should come back.
Can't disappear. Watch me.
Smoke bomb.
There's also, I mean, like an amount of self-awareness that you have to be able to recognize when you're feeling tapped out too.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a skill that everybody has. I mean, I'm I'm so old and I've just figured it out.
Yeah.
I
mean,
took me 42 years.
we've gotten better at just telling each other when we can't deal with it and being like, let's do something else for a little while to recharge.
Yeah.
Which, luckily, I mean, I don't know. I think in some sort of weird evolutionary survival sense, we both get on, like, shitty moods at different times. Like, usually, it's not both of us at one time.
I've gotten a lot better at not wanting to drag everyone down with me. Like, one of the hardest things for me to learn how to do was to not pick fights, you know, like, okay, wait.
Yeah, okay, learn. I was gonna say,
pick fights
still
in
the process.
Pick fights in the right direction. Yeah. Yeah. Don't pick fights at the people that are trying to help you.
Yeah. I mean, it's also in a similar vein, like, it's important to recognize people that don't respect when you say you can't deal with it right now.
Yeah,
because there's gonna be people that are like, you know, still demanding on you, and if they can't respect that, you maybe need to distance yourself from them a bit,
just a little bit.
Yes,
we'll probably put those
country type
mental health helplines back up. Yeah, on the
we should
on this episode. It's a tough time of year. Like,
it is.
Yeah, New Year's, people put a lot of pressure on themselves to suddenly become a perfect person because it's a new because the calendar turned over.
Yeah, exactly.
The dates are meaningless, guys. They're meaningless.
What is time anyway? Like, I
don't know. I'm from the future and I can't tell you what the
I live in the weird past.
You do live farthest in the past.
You do. That's, it's so bizarre to me that you're like technically 3 hours you're technically 21 hours behind me, not 3 hours ahead of me.
Yeah.
It's really fucking weird. Like, that's odd.
It feels that way, yeah. though. Like, that's just how I run with it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm 4 hours ahead of her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can do math, that's how I promise. It feels. It's like we're living in a time, in like a space-time continuum of some type.
We're in the darkest timeline, guys. We're in the darkest timeline.
Oh, of that I'm sure.
This is going to sound crazy, but I think this is the bad place.
I think this is the bad place.
In which case, this does not sound crazy. That would be the quickest. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, closet in Canada also.
We're in the bad place.
Closet in Canada also wants to know, how do you get back to normal life and normal? I can't remember if she put the quotes around it or if I did. How do you get back to normal life after liminal spacemas? Is it possible?
Oh, you mean Christmas?
Liminal spacemas. It's that period after Christmas, but before New Year's.
But before New Year's,
where like time is meaningless.
Time means
There's
nothing.
You don't know what to do with yourself.
Okay, so I'm weird. I love this time of year. Like, I actually really love the period of time between Christmas and whenever stuff starts again. Whole of January is just this weird month because nothing happens.
Yeah, even though, like, your life is insane from November to January. Like,
yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. But once January hits, it all the accelerator comes off. I don't have to do anything. It's great. Like, it's full on my holiday month. I don't have to take kids to school. I sometimes have to feed them, but that's, you know... I'm actually teaching them to do that themselves. This year's really weird though, because my husband's at home as well, which hasn't happened before. He usually goes to work, so it's usually just me and the kids.
Yeah,
and we just have this sort of weird floaty couple of weeks where we sleep until 12 and then we go out for lunch because I couldn't be bothered cooking for them, and then we just hang around the pool all day. It's really nice. But having a husband here, it's still been nice, but it's a bit weirder because I sort of catch him walking around the house and go, shit, there's another person in here. What's going on? It's all weird.
So the answer is to get a pool.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Move to Australia and get a pool.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that wouldn't help me much here, especially in
Australia. No, you don't have an equivalent over there of a summer. Like, your summer lasts for fucking ever, though, doesn't it? Like, you'll go to summer camp and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre to me. Like, the parents of the kids send their kids away for the entire holiday.
I mean, mine never did. I think you need money to do that.
Yeah.
I could just discuss the concept of summer camp with you guys, because every single summer camp movie I've ever seen has just been this, you know, basically child abuse.
Summer camp is not like you see it in the movies.
No, it's not. Oh, now I'm disappointed.
The closest I ever had to summer camp was Vacation Bible School, because it's free.
VBS and church camp. Church camp.
Dump you off at church camp for a week.
Church
camp.
I mean,
it sounds even worse.
It still has to pick me up at the end of the day, but...
Oh, church camp is worse. But in some ways, it's, like, truly awesome, because there's, like, a lot of, I don't know, a lot of the least churchy experiences of my life happened at church camp.
See, the most ironic thing of my life happened wherein I was at church camp and I stole.
Yay!
Because
your childhood is emerging in the course of this podcast, and you're turning out to be not the sort of person I actually thought you were.
Oh, Imogen and I were talking about this not long ago. We're like, oh my god, we're just discovering all these new facets of Claire. We're like, did you know she has a temper? No, I didn't know she has a temper. We were like, we always thought you were like the most chill, quiet, relaxed person ever, and then you're like, oh my god, I got so mad about this thing and blah blah blah, and we're like, whoa, what?
Anyway, like, when you're asking us whether or not we got into fights and everyone's like expecting
I'm the only one that
has. Claire's like, no, I decked like 20 kids in a bar brawl when I was 14 years old.
Yeah, but there was, okay, so I had to tell this one because it cracks me up. Whoever, I don't remember what the fuck his name was, because that's how much attention I was paying at Bible school. Barnabas or whoever, the fucking tax man. like, was going around and, like, repenting of, like, taking people's taxes unfairly. So he'd ask people who he taxed, because he would actually have gone around, like, we had fake money, and he would actually go around and tax people. I had not had any of my money taxed, because I was very good at evading the tax man. But I definitely claimed he had taxed me, so I got some free fake money.
What did you use the fake money for?
Oh, stupid stuff, like, you could, like, make a brick or something. You would use it for crafts. Essentially, it was a bartering system.
Wow, Catholic Church camp is so different.
I don't even think it was Catholic Church camp. It was just this weird church camp that was nearby that like was around every summer, so my parents would drop us off.
Like, okay, we just have had like a lot of investigation into the Catholic Church. I'm just like, this is just, alarm bells are going off in my head. Like, there's a church camp? Like, I wouldn't trust my kids to go into a church.
I mean, it's not really run by priests so much as,
okay,
like...
well, that's all right then. But it's still a bit fucking weird.
The one I went to is very Protestant. In fact, yeah, it was Baptist, and it bordered on, like, one of the rules was no dancing. Like, you couldn't...
Okay, yeah, okay. Mine was, like... I mean, it might have been Catholic, because it was real chill, but...
What? But, and, I mean, we lived in cabins, and I did a work program where I worked at the camp for a week in exchange for getting to go to the camp for free, because it was a little cost prohibitive, and working for that week is almost as fun. Like, it's almost more fun, because you don't have to adhere to all the rules, and you get to, like, go out at night, so we would sneak into town, and... that was the summer I went dumpster diving for the first time. But it wasn't really run by priests or anything like that. Like, a family owned
just
it.
People who were really keen on.
Yeah, a family church. Owned it, and then there were like age groups, and they would bring in a different person to lead each age group.
Yeah, uh-huh. Ours wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't like a. It was just a like kind of a 9-to-5 thing.
Oh, yeah. That's what the camps are here. Like, if you go, like, they talk about having holiday camps here, but it's just 9 to 3, same hours as school. So it's just basically a way to get the kids out of the house while you go to work. But,
oh, no, ours was like a week straight. like you slept there.
Yeah, it was a week, but we were only there. It was, it was a free 9-to-5 dump off your kids, essentially daycare.
Oh, yeah, they
talked to us about the Bible.
they dropped us off Sunday night and picked us up Saturday. And...
So, like, okay, I'm now fascinated by the Bible aspect of this camp. Did they, like, did you have, like, was it, like, school and that you had, like, periods of Bible, like, this part of the Bible? That
No, it was, like,
10,
a weird Bible
vengeful God in the morning, merciful God in the afternoon.
Yeah,
Sorry?
It definitely varied camp to camp.
Ours was definitely like a reenactment kind of thing where...
What? Reenactment?
Yeah, like there was like a Jesus walking around and Mary Magdalene.
A Jesus?
And...
Oh my God.
Wow.
Oh my God.
No, we would get up and like, if you wanted, they had optional like morning devotions and you could get up and go like do... I've never really understood what devotions are, but whatever. And you could go do those and then you'd have breakfast and then we'd have like... one or two classes, like you'd go to a class, but they were all kinds of different. They weren't very class-like classes. Yeah. And they were Bible focused, but there were usually activities, or it was fun. You know,
yeah,
I didn't.
It was all Bible focused activities. Like we learned to make unleavened bread, and we were all split up into the like 12 tribes of Israel.
Wow, yours was like
I was Gad one time.
hey, Brandon. Yeah, can I just sort of poke it. Catholicism is a cult, darling.
Oh, we all know that.
Sorry.
I mean, it was basically just a way to break us down into small groups, and then they would, like, we'd, like, make bread and bricks and jewelry and stuff, and then they would have, like, you'd learn a little Bible story. Yeah, like, out of mud and stuff. Like, how people used to make bricks.
It sounds awesome. I want to go now.
This is how Imogen feels. I'm like bricks. What were you doing? We played.
I mean, it seems bizarre to me that you had an all night thing instead of it just. I think it was even just an afternoon. Like, oh, they would dump us off and we get some, like, juice and stuff to eat.
So. Yeah, after dinner, we'd have, like, nightly worship, and after worship, we'd go to...
See, yours sounds like
we'd have, like, a little... We'd have,
yeah,
like,
we
a
didn't
little...
even have, like, mass or anything. It was just kind of wander around doing whatever.
Well, Protestant worship is a little... It's different. It's a lot different. We'd do that, and then we'd have, like, an hour to, like, just tool around and do things, or there'd be, like, a nightly activity. Like, we had a talent show 1 year, and then we'd go down to campfire, and campfire was, like, the big crowning thing of the night. There's great, great big fire, and someone would lead us in Jesus songs, and then we'd...
Yeah, we didn't sing any songs or anything. It's mostly just crafts.
Campfire was when, like, some people would, like, drift to the back and start making out because you weren't supposed to touch each other at church camp, but I mean, no one stuck
or
to
dance.
That. Or dance.
I think I've got a friend.
There was no dancing. Like, it was very, like, they didn't want anyone to mistake us for Pentecostal. Like,
see, that's another thing that I just have.
See, that sounds more weird
about.
And cultish to me. Hear kids go around and do stupid, boring crafts. Put your hand in a bit of clay.
Well, I was just wondering if maybe they were, like, when you said you were making bricks, that maybe they were using you as child labor.
That's what I was thinking.
I was like, no, they weren't, like, they weren't, like, good bricks. It was just, like...
Oh, okay, cool. That's good.
And, like, you were supposed to keep them and stuff. It was just, like, a weird craft to do, like...
Yeah, it sounded like
here,
a
this
weird,
is what people used to do.
A weird vacation Bible school, like, Texas cult kind of crossover.
I don't know. When I was like, the only time we ever, I went to school camp, which is when they took us to camp from school for a week, a couple of times.
So that feels redundant, but continue.
Well, it's well, I suppose it gave my parents a night off, or my mum, because my dad was left by then. But it was a great one because we actually went to this camp, and they're always run by really weird people. I think they're people who maybe wanted to be teachers, but weren't smart enough, which is terrifying because you don't have to do very well to become a teacher here. And, yeah, and so that, like, they're running this school camp, and at one stage they had us waiting outside the dining hall, and they had put out buckets of fruit, which were obviously for our morning tea. And we'd got there a bit early, and we're like, oh, there's fruit, so we'll eat it. So we grabbed a piece of fruit each, and we're eating this fruit. And the camp leader guy came out and just started screeching at us.
Oh, no.
calling us thieves because we'd eaten. There were, like, five of us because we'd eaten this piece of fruit each.
Yeah.
And, so his very incredibly hilarious punishment was to sit us all on a bench and make us count the bricks in the wall of the hall. Now, it was a pretty big hall, but luckily we had a guy called Phil who was a good friend of mine who just did the – he squared it, so he got the number. But anyway, while we were sitting there, the fruit was still sitting in these buckets, right? Four or five buckets of fruit. One of my other friends just went, fuck it, let's eat the fruit. We're already in trouble. We may as well eat the rest of the fruit. Not that I'm a big fan of fruit, but it felt like it was protest fruit.
Protest fruit.
I mean, if you want weird Catholic things, like, was it senior year of high school, I think? We went to one of the convents at Notre Dame, and... So you could stay there overnight, and it was a whole big Catholic thing.
Did you get to do your morning devotions?
Yeah, there was mass, I think both in the morning and the evening. It was a whole thing. I don't remember what we did, I just remember I went.
Sounds great.
It was right up my alley, man.
Like, if you
it
wanna,
was appeal
if,
to me.
If you want to know what my church camp experience was like, watch Adam's Family Values.
All
and
right.
Instead of, like, all the turkey and Thanksgiving crap going on, like, it was Jesus, you know? Like, it's like Adam's Family Values, but there was more Jesus, and it was only a week, so.
Oh, wow. I'm just fascinated by it. I mean, it's speaking about convents, actually, as a turn to the left there, I always wanted to be, like, I'm suspecting this is part of my bisexual awakening when I was a kid. I always wanted to be a nun.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to be a nun, too, and I heard at some point that is very common for women who like women. Like, I apparently want to be a nun.
movie recommendation, The Little Hours. Okay. with Aubrey Plaza and Alison Brie, and it's pretty much, like, That's pretty much the concept.
It's a lesbian nun movie, isn't it?
It's like a lesbian nun witchcraft murder mystery.
Okay, I'm in for that.
It was not what I thought it was going to be at all, and I loved it. So anyway, cool. The Little Hours. I think it was on Hulu.
I will have a look. But yes, I think that all this talk about church camp, I'm feeling like we might need a sin of the week.
Oh God, I had some good ones, but it's been 50 years. One I thought was appropriate for the holidays was, while you can drink, it is a sin to get drunk or, you know, be under the influence of any sort of drug. So, which I always thought was ironic because Catholics, I feel, are known for drinking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They've got a bit of a reputation.
But yeah, it was like we got quite the talk about that in high school, I recall. My morality teacher was so weird. He'd be like, nothing tastes better on a hot day than a slice of pizza and a cold beer. But...
ew, that does not sound like hot day food.
I know, but it was so weird. I was always like, what is he talking? But yeah, he's like, but you should never get drunk if it's bad. Because the reasoning was, I believe it's an offense to God because you're ruining, it goes against your human dignity.
Is it like speaking completely out of my ass here, but I do think I've heard it that the Muslim reason for not taking alcohol or drugs is because you don't pollute the body that God has given you.
No, basically. It was about like human dignity and it all right. Because you're giving up your God-given like logic and reason and all that.
Oh man!
The church was big on logic and reason.
Yeah, like for Protestants, it was like, and I mean, Protestants started America. I mean, whatever, you know, it's very Puritan. But like for the Protestant mindset behind it was that you're like giving the devil a foothold. when you get drunk, you open yourself up to the devil.
Oh, no, cool. A lot of Catholic stuff it runs down to human dignity. I mean. Like, that's part of the whole, like, right to life thing and blah, blah, blah. Each human has dignity and worth and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I think that's, like, one of the big differences. Like, I don't feel like Catholics are as big on the devil.
Yeah.
which is a complicated interpretive issue anyway, as far as the Bible's concerned. Yeah. But like Protestants are way
he turns up twice in the entire book.
Yeah, like
he's a very, very, very minor NPC, the devil.
It really is.
In the Bible.
It really depends on the translation and who's decided that.
But you know,
fan
fiction
and,
like Paradise Lost really
basically
picked it up.
Yeah. Like
yeah, Milton did a lot for the devil's in image. She made him very sexy. Thanks, Milton.
So like Protestants are perfectly willing to be like, oh, the devil made me do it.
Yeah.
Like if
I saw Goody Proctor with the devil.
Oh, speaking of Protestants and movie recommendations and gay movie, I recently watched this movie. It's called The Girl King. You can find it on Amazon or not Amazon on Netflix.
I've seen that advertised.
I talked to you about it when I was. Watching it to because of my anxiety last week.
But, oh, yeah, okay.
It's about a Swedish, I think Swedish queen, and like the she was like super lesbian, and all her Lutheran advisors are getting all like mad at her, and the Catholics are trying to woo her over. Like, you can be a lesbian if you want. We don't care. And it was the best. It was the best. You should watch it. It was...
Okay,
all right, I'll keep that in mind. I'll keep that in mind.
Like, I have no idea how historically accurate it is. I don't care.
Hunker down.
That's funny. I mean,
hunker down with some Taco Bell and some lesbian religious movies.
Yeah,
and...
she was like pals with Descartes, and they were like, "Oh, you can't!" Like, she'd like to read his writings too, and they're like, "Oh, he's Catholic, though," and they're like, "Oh no." So then the Catholics are like, Descartes will win her over to the papacy. It was so good. It tickled my Catholic fancy.
Oh, Catholics, they were the real problem. Just ask the Puritans.
Oh, no. You know, like, Queen Victoria was asked whether or not she should ban lesbianism, and she just said it wasn't possible to be a lesbian. You've heard that one, haven't you?
No.
Because
what?
Yeah, no, I have heard.
She didn't understand. Yeah, she. There was a discussion about how, you know, homosexuality between men was illegal, and Queen Victoria was asked about her opinion of homosexuality between women, and she said, "Well, they can't have sex with each other. It's not possible."
Yeah, it's actually historically why lesbians have gotten off easier, because there's like, yeah, that's not a thing.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you can't.
Oh, it just in that makes movie, they literally had a, like, they're just pals. It was the funniest fucking thing.
I wish you guys could see my face right now, because I'm like, what?
Well, the biggest thing about Queen Victoria as well is that Queen Victoria was married very famously, absolutely head over heels in love,
yeah,
with her husband. And she wrote in her diary the morning after their first night together, "Oh, such heavenly bliss." And like, if she got heavenly bliss from him without any lesbian content, if you know what I mean, he must have been pretty good with that dick. Like, for a first time night, first time with the Queen, and she was obviously very, very pleased and happy about it, and there was no finger work being done. Then,
The groundwork had not been laid.
But sounds like all the other work was laid.
Yeah. I'm impressed with Alfred. He did die very young. Maybe he got tired.
Yeah, he just wore himself out.
She had like 15 kids.
Maybe he was one of those men who didn't have a refractory period, but it like ate the years off the end of his life.
It's the price he paid.
For reasons I won't go into, I actually did quite a bit of reading on refractory periods today.
Please tell me why. You'd have to do it on the podcast. Tell me after.
Okay. It's not that big of a deal. It was an RP thing.
Oh,
yeah, but now we.
Hey, we're doing Alistair's first time. And then we were like, I was like, well, you know, it's gonna go quick, right? And we were like, but warden. So what do we think the refractory period of a warden is? And I was like, I'm gonna have to Google this. I'm gonna get the FBI at my house, I swear, because I was like, what is the refractory period of the average 18
for a 19-year-old boy?
For the average 19-year-old boy.
Oh, no.
It's like, do I have to have
it? It's much shorter when you.
It is. It's like 15 seconds. It's not long.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're kidding me.
No, it's like 15 minutes. At about 18. As opposed to at 70, it's like 20 hours. And over the course of a man's life, the average is about a half hour. But then there was a note at the very end of what I was reading, and it was like, however, there are some rare men who have no refractory period, and after about 10 to 15 seconds, are fine again. Wow. And I was like, that one, science is backing us up, as long as we're as long as we're going into fantasy here. A young 19-year-old,
whatever, stamina.
Young 19-year-old Alistair has no refractory periods.
Okay. Are we looking forward to reading that thread?
The post
you'll probably
is
have
there.
To be on After Dark there.
No. Oh, yeah. We wrote around it in PG-13. It's there, so uh-huh. It's for you to look at.
I looked at it.
I just didn't know if you guys wrote more to it. Because I was like, that'd be a short
we thought about just doing like that one part on the After Dark side.
I know, that's why I was like, did she?
just the funny? One just the one post. But the moral of the story is basically that it was over very quickly, and Liliana was expecting like things to no longer be working, and she's like, oh, wait a second, what?
You guys have seen Red Dwarf?
Yeah.
Yes.
At all?
Yes.
Yeah. Like that great episode where Rimmer has sex on the hologram ship, and the woman, and they're lying in the afterglow, and the woman turns to her and says, "You make love like a Japanese meal. You make love like a Japanese meal. Small courses, no, small portions, but so many courses." Which is just one of the best metaphors I've ever heard. small portions, but so many courses.
My favorite is that sex is like bridge. If you don't have a good partner, you better have a good hand.
Yeah, that works. Can you go? No, you can't.
I mean, that's what I'm saying, though. You're always like, Lucian's always so ready to go. I'm like, he's 22.
Yeah, no refractory period there either.
He's 22 with like 20-minute refractory period.
Oh god!
So there you go. There's your little education. We've run the gamut of topics today.
We sure have.
Church pan.
I mean, I think we're always in danger if you start off religious. It always goes from there. It really does. I'm now looking up that thread because I didn't notice it had updated, so now I need to read it.
You should.
Oh, yeah. I think I read it before I even read yours. Then I got to my own post.
Yeah, that was the story behind my Tumblr post. It was like, I love when science backs up my fantasy bullshit.
Oh, I knew it had something to do with Warden's Vigil. I just didn't know.
We were both like, yes, science says we're good to go.
Oh, science. We love you, science.
I mean, at that age, they could what? Like, say, that was great, and then he'd be ready to just have a quick chat.
It was a quick turnaround, okay?
I'm just saying, even if it was zero, even if it wasn't 0 seconds, it's still short enough time that they could have had a quick, all right, let's change positions or something.
Well, I mean, even, like, anything under 10 minutes, even for me, is like, I'm like, no! Just give me, I'm not mad, just give me a minute. Just don't touch me for a second.
Man, it's like, my refractory period is like 6 weeks. I've had 2 kids.
They,
I know where it leads.
They told me when I gave birth, they were like, and it was very funny because I was single at the time. They were like, okay, you're going to want to tell your partner that the doctor said nothing goes into it for 6 months. And I was like, what? And they were like, because men here, oh, she can't have sex for 6 weeks. And they're like, okay, week 6, here it is. Let's do this. And
yeah.
And no one's ready for that. So you tell them, I mean, you tell them 6 months and then spring it on them after like 8, after like 2.
I guess that's hilarious too, because it's just like you've got a newborn.
Yeah.
At this stage, you've got a newborn. You're never having sex. It's not a thing. Like, until you start trying for the next one. And that's a yeah. Yeah.
Bold of you to assume anybody did it on purpose.
True.
And like for the rest of my life, because I always said it would be fun to have one on purpose, and now we're not gonna, but I've always pictured like one partner or the other like laying in wait. Like a jungle cat.
Oh, no, it's much more mundane than that. You got to pee on a stick and you got to find the right 3 days, and then you've got to bloody shift some scheduling around and then like, hey, can you come home from work, or oh, I suppose we'll just do it.
Oh, yeah, actually, like I've researched so that annoying. For RP also.
It's so annoying.
I mean, you can go to a natural, if you want, Catholics have that covered. If you go to a natural family planning site, then you know your whole cycle to a T.
Yeah, and that works real well, the rhythm method. So effective.
Yeah.
It really does. Those not work at all, guys. Please do not do that.
The small Catholic families.
Yeah, all those tiny Catholic families.
I'd be surprised to see the stats on, like, families from certain religions where the women are like not disappointed about hysterectomies. They're like, I mean, oh, what you mean I can't have children anymore? Oh no.
My favorite is the inevitable swing where they'll my friend who I mean at this point quote unquote friend who originally was perfectly fine with birth control, started dating a very Catholic guy.
Mm.
changed her mind on that. was still planning on using contraceptives in marriage, changed her mind on that. And she was like, when she was originally telling me about this, back when she, you know, was open to reason, was like, yeah, our teacher, like in our, luckily we didn't, me and Travis didn't have to go through this, their marriage prep classes they had to go through.
I forgot you had marriage prep. Yeah, makes me fucking laugh.
Apparently they had to go through natural family planning classes. And she's like, this woman has like 6 kids. she's like, oh, they were all planned. And yeah, at this point, she's acting like her kids were all planned. And it's like, I was there. You can't lie to us when we were all there. We know that at least 2 of these were not planned.
No, yeah, back when I got screened for cervical cancer, that's why I found out my grandmother's worries about it were very minimal. She's like, I had it. It was fine. They just cut it out. You go on your way. It's all good. You don't have any more babies. And I was like, what? Like, my grandma was not bothered at all by getting like uterine cancer or whatever it was that she got at the time. And she was like, I was just done having babies. Oh, wow. Like, you go, grandma.
Yeah. I was done after 2. That's good. But then again, I'm not Catholic. Well,
speaking of
Catholics,
speaking of family planning, what is your go-to meal if you're in a hurry and don't feel like making food? obviously, mine is Taco Bell.
Oh yeah, I mean, if we count fast food, yeah, Taco Bell. If we count like food we have to
stop
make,
it, you're hurting me.
If we count food we have to make. I mean, honestly, it's pretty close to Taco Bell because we almost always have tortillas around and I'll just throw garbage in there and it counts as food.
The tortilla is like proof understands depression. Like,
it's like pile food into tortilla. It's a meal.
You got a sweet tooth? No problem. Dump some sugar in there. Yeah. Yeah, my favorite thing to make like fluffer nutter sandwiches on or something is a tortilla because you just roll it up and it's in every bite.
I make pasta with I've always got pasta and tuna in the cupboard, so I just put pasta on stir tuna through it or toast.
Well, yeah, like if I'm feeling ambitious, I'll make macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, oh.
That requires some actual prep. I might,
because you have to actually like boil the water.
And then I'll feel so proud of myself.
Sometimes when it's really bad, like boiling the water is just too much effort, and you get halfway there, like when the bubbles start to form on the bottom of the pan, and you're like, "Come on, bubbles! Enough. Fuck it! I'm just gonna have popcorn."
Yeah, my kids have started. My kids have finally worked out how to make the microwave popcorn work. So every now and then I'll just hear this popping sound in the background. It's because my kids are like, I want popcorn. And I don't have to ask mum for it because I know how to make it myself now. I'm like, okay.
Otherwise, I just protest. Eat food parts.
Like, yeah, like
a few days ago, I was eating some lunch meat.
Pepperoni from the packet.
Pepperoni from the packet is the best. Yeah. I love pepperoni for the packet. That's my fave.
I was at like prime laziness a few days ago. I wouldn't even use my hands. I'd put it into my mouth, like partly into my mouth, and like slowly chew it more into my mouth. I was like slowly getting drunk.
Like a cow.
Yep.
Like a cow. Oh. Oh, my husband came home from Costco with microwave sticky rice. And he was like, here, this is for when you don't feel like cooking. Because, you know, sometimes during the day that I can't be trusted to make myself a meal, like, I'll forget. And so it's the easiest thing. You vent the package, you stick it in the microwave, 1 minute later, you've got rice.
Yeah, nice. I tend to buy a few microwavable meals just for days when I know I can't. Because, like, otherwise I know, I'm like, okay, I will not eat anything if I don't have something I can just, like... slap in there.
I try to plan ahead when I can feel it coming, and it's usually like if I'm getting one of my mood swings, I can feel it coming, so I'll predict and I'll get the different things that I know I'll put the effort into.
Yeah.
Like instant mashed potatoes and
yeah. Because if I'm really not feeling it, I won't even want to drive out to get fast food. So I'm like, okay, yeah. Something I can throw in a microwave that will become food, you know what? Of some sort.
The least effort, the better.
You know what's really good? IKEA meatballs. I know you don't have IKEA in Hawaii.
Yeah, check China, your IKEA privilege, Imogen.
IKEA meatballs are fucking great because they you just like they're pure protein. They taste fucking delicious. They go in the oven for 20 minutes and they come out and they're done and you just eat them.
Well, and ground meat in the United States isn't safe right now because nobody's inspecting it. So.
I mean, pretty much nothing is safe right now since they're not inspecting any of the.
You can have a nice lettuce and meatball salad.
No, don't eat the lettuce. The lettuce.
No, don't eat the lettuce.
Oh my god,
we had problems with the lettuce even when we had inspectors.
I know.
Now we don't have them.
No, we don't have them. Well, you know, maybe that was the problem. Like there was problems with the lettuce because the drainage from the cow fields was running off. So now they just stopped inspecting the cow fields. So yay!
Or, you know, ignorance is bliss. It's fine.
We're back to beer being safer than water.
So. Yeah. Oh man. I can see you all guys wanting to get drunk there, though.
we're having a rough time. One of our congresswomen just announced a bid for president. Like she's going to run for president, and I saw Twitter like explode. They were like, "Oh my god!" Blah, blah, blah. Like already, like she's a clay pigeon, and ready to shoot her down. And I was like, guys, I will vote for a gym sock. At
yeah,
this point.
Pretty much.
Like,
I will vote for a literal rotten orange over the metaphorical one.
I was like, done. We've got someone to champion.
Yep. Put up there.
Literally anyone. So that we can stop drinking beer.
People are so fucking stupid, though. Like, I saw on Tumblr people jumping after Ocasio-Cortez because she voted to fund the government. They're like, look, she's voting to fund ICE. It's like, fucking god damn it, guys. She voted to fund our government again. I'm sorry, that includes shitty things, but first you have to have a government and then you can get rid of the shitty.
I just want people
Tumblr
to get
at the moment
again.
I kind of wish Tumblr had died. I wish it had died. I kind of wish it had gone quietly into that good night and the whole business thing. Because it's such a fucking dumb website.
It's just so stupid.
And I just you can't win on Tumblr. Like no. So when the Emma Stone thing came around and they were like, oh, the white girl made it all about herself while the woman of color was talking. And I was like, yeah, or she, like, apologized in a light, frothy manner.
Yeah, she, you know? she apologized in the way that least made it about herself. Like,
if she had come out and made
a statement, then it would have been all about herself.
Look at her making it all about herself.
Yeah,
you know?
she didn't go onto stage. She didn't do anything. She just said a quick thing.
Oh, I can't remember what the other there was another related issue. And I was like, okay, so if you apologize, you're a piece of shit. If you don't apologize, you're a piece of shit. So
yep. Well, because like that's probably how they spelled it out. They were like, oh, first she doesn't say anything, and now suddenly she's making it all about herself.
Exactly.
It's like, well, which way do you guys want it?
I really wanted but Someone else talk. Because I can't.
Oh, sorry, you lost. I was wondering what was going on. Are you choking? Are you okay? No,
we've been away too long.
We've all this stuff's vented up. Which is dumb because we speak to each other every fucking day.
I know.
Chat
but
for
like,
some reason.
Just like a few weeks ago, everyone was like, oh my god, Tumblr's gonna come crashing to a halt. And here we are a month out, and it's like nothing changed.
Yeah, nothing changed.
There's a little less fellatio on my dash.
I mean, there's
not even
they still haven't emailed me about all my flag stuff, so I don't know what's going on there.
Oh, yeah. But start posting your tattoos. I feel like that was the...
Yeah, well, that was just it was just your husband's tattoos, though, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was your husband's tattoos.
It was the husband's tattoos.
Man. Oh, and I listened like to the two posts that I got that got flagged for me, one of which was a Captain America panel and one of which was a picture of my son.
I had so many, and it was all my art except for there's one picture of Dorian's ass, and I'm like, okay, fine.
Yeah, but that was
all the rest was like completely like vanilla innocent ass.
That was me, like, when I was appealing it. I was like, okay guys, all right, I'll give you Dorian's ass. Maybe.
Yeah, even though it's not
in the guidelines. Like, he's not actively fucking anyone, and there's no nipples.
Yeah, like the most salacious thing were some Lucian nips, but it's like, I'm sorry, those were in a lot of pictures, but he's not doing anything. I think he was reading a book.
So it was.
Lucian's fighting a losing battle against Tumblr because he's always got his nipples.
I know.
Too much about that.
Lucian's always fighting a losing battle against, like, yes.
I guess, yeah, everything.
Everything.
Oh,
man.
Oh, boy.
I mean, most of it was like 90% of it was Anders. And it wasn't even like, Justice crotch or anything. It was all just like normal pictures of Anders. And I'm like, Templars are running.
You were being, you were being vetted by a Sebastian loving blog. That's what the problem
was.
Well,
yeah, like, I mean, no, I'm saying it's Templars because it was all, except for with very few exceptions, it was Taco, Lucian, and Anders. It was all mages. Oh, and Geralt. Geralt was the exception, but he's also
he's a
magical
beast. So, yeah.
Geralt got flagged?
Yeah, Geralt got flagged.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Templar.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it. I totally know who that is.
He's a binocorn.
We're all just using regular words now.
Hey, it's not our fault you haven't listened to The Adventure Zone. I believe we both pushed on you very hard.
Oh, speaking of, what is your depression survival kit? What's the thing you got to have on hand?
Okay, I gotta have easy food.
Easy food.
Number one.
Yeah, we've covered that.
I like to have hoppy, poppy music. Like, Taylor Swift is usually a go-to.
Taylor Swift's a good one. A good one.
Yeah. And I like to have stupid stuff to watch. Like, God, I love ghost hunting shows. They're so dumb. I don't know what part of my brain it appeals to, because I don't believe in ghosts. But like,
it is so dumb. Have you been watching BuzzFeed on?
I watched the entire thing while Travis was gone for 4 days. That was like, it was the perfect ghost hunting show for me, because it's like, okay, one person feeds into that part of my brain that really wants to believe in ghosts, and the other person feeds into my brain that's like, this is the dumbest shit ever.
I love that guy. I can't remember his name, but he just the way he just goes, this is so dumb. I can't believe we're doing. And you're like, what? He's making money out of it, obviously, because it's a fairly popular show. It's like,
he made a comment in one of the episodes, like, we'd have to stop making this show if, like, I started to believe, because that'd be so boring. And the other guy's like, yes. That's what every other ghost hunting show is like. And he's like, what? Really?
Yes.
It's like, yeah, like, sorry.
I never know every other ghost show. Those don't even cross my radar. Like, my feel-good television is like, beat Bobby Flay.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, I sit there watching, I watch, like, true crime and fucking ghost hunting shows.
I have, funny, because I feel like that's a good, like, I love a bit of, for me, nostalgia TV is what I do.
Yeah.
So I'll pop Star Wars on, or I'll pop Star Trek on, or I'll pop Blake 7 on, or I'll pop Stargate, like, all of those old shows that I used to watch when I was a kid. Doctor Who, etc. Or I'll go full on trashy, and like my last depressive episode was when I dived into Lucifer. I'm gonna go watch something really trashy, and it just came up on, I think I was watching it on Hulu or something else. I was like, yes, Devil in Los Angeles sounds great. I'm gonna watch that, and it was great. And and this time around, I just finished watching Titans, which is also, like, I'm not actually depressed at the moment, but it just came up on the thing, and I was like, I don't watch that. And it's the sort of thing I would normally sort of just click on and go, oh, I'm going
to
watch this.
Well, now I'm going
to go for something totally new. And, like, I'm usually really bad at watching TV. I don't watch TV ever. But when I do watch it, I binge watch it. So Netflix is basically my depression go-to.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Except
Netflix
me!
Netflix is so fucking funny because I only log into my account when Travis isn't around, which means it's like, it doesn't know what to suggest to me. It suggests real gay shit, ghost shows, and, like, murder.
Crime shit. That sounds perfect, though.
I know. It sounds perfect. It's so good. Like, the Girl King is something it suggested to me.
We don't even.
I'll bite.
We don't even bother with like separate accounts. Like we all just log into the same profile or whatever when we watch it. So like our suggestions have gotten really wild. Like I get so many Korean dramas recommended to me.
Yeah. I mean that's part of why I log in because I'm like, I know Travis doesn't want to watch like 90% of this.
I know.
I'm like, I'm sorry. I'll watch the ghost shows.
Well, that's funny because my kids, we have. My kids log in, they've got their own account, and that's just all, it's 99% Teen Titans Go, which is great. But it's funny because mine's all Daredevil and Marvel shows. I don't know what, and Murray's is all like political dramas and, oh man, what's he was watching lately? He's just found some anime thing that he's watching now, which I don't even know what it is, but he's really enjoying himself watching that. You're still watching that anime. He's like, yeah, there's 500 episodes or something. I'm like, okay.
I also watched Wynonna Earp on my account, which is hilariously how it started, I think, flagging LGBT stuff for me. it's like here, either lesbians or like strong female leads or just gay.
Or both.
Yeah, both. I'm like, thank you, Netflix, you understand me.
Yeah, I think my Netflix, actually I can log into my Netflix suggestion right now and see what it's got up for me after my last couple of watching spouts.
Netflix robbed me.
I'd be interested.
I'm not going to stop complaining about this for a while because I was late on the Being Human train.
Oh yeah, it takes you down real fast.
I got to the sweeps of the last season and I'm left with so many clips like... Does Sally figure out to eat cats? I'm never going to know now. Come on, guys. When I set a deadline for a day, it goes until 11:59 that night.
Okay, so I don't know. It doesn't have... Where do you find the recommended lists?
Normal list. It says like stuff recommended for.
It's like because you watched Wynonna Earp, here's the
crowd.
Yeah,
but it also has
because
like,
it's like terrible
top
at it.
Picks for. It's like top picks for whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, my first page has just got heaps and heaps of crime stuff on it at the moment. I've got Lucifer right at the top because I've been watching that a lot. And then I've just got.
Oh, that means it's probably going to suggest shit like that to me because it's like you watch so much crime and supernatural shit.
I've only got Lucifer on my list, but the rest of it is all crime stuff. Yeah, I've got a Luther tidying up with Marie Kondo. What are you? Netflix is judging me now.
I'm not one.
I don't need that.
If it makes you feel better,
that's there just because everybody's watching it.
Yeah, one's been getting recommended to me a lot too, and I was like, excuse me.
I mean, yeah, I'll take it. Like, I think Wynonna Earp was one of the ones it recommended to me in the first place, and I was like, you know what? I do want to watch that. Because yeah. It's like, you watch so many goddamn ghost shows and shit.
I get a lot of
supernatural show.
I get a lot of stand-up recommended to me now. So even though I watch like the same 7 stand-ups, like
I watched Daniel Sloss the other night on your recommendation and nearly died.
Oh my god,
funniest thing I've ever
he's
seen.
He's so fucking funny.
He's so funny.
He's out there. Yeah, I'm gonna tag you on the Twitter, dude. Like we fucking love you. You were my depression stand-up for a little while.
I cried while so,
yeah, I think
Netflix... Daniel Sloss got me through some pretty bad bipolar episodes. Yeah. So.
I would say Netflix or any other sort of streaming service is definitely a depression like staple.
Yes, and some sort of easy food is also so important. And
I also find it pretty good for anxiety, just because it's like anything where I need to get my mind off of my brain, my mind. It's like
you guys hit all the ones I had written down: easy food, simple chores. I keep a simple chores. That make me feel good, like I did something, like making.
Actually, finally, cleaning up helps me a lot if I'm really down. And I know that sounds weird because...
Oh, it makes me feel like, real good. It's just really, really hard for me to actually get up to do anything.
It's in it. It backfires on you really bad because you'll set like a simple chore and you're like, I can do this. I can do it. And then you don't do it. And you're like, yep, see what a piece of shit I am.
Yep.
I couldn't
I'm
even.
Like, I can vacuum. Vacuum easy. Nope. And then I don't. And then I feel really
bad. Yeah.
Yes. Also on my list is dry shampoo and baby wipes.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I've never had a problem with showering. Like, that's one thing that... maybe it's just because it's so hot here all the time, and I mean, I have air conditioning, so not showering actually makes me feel gross and disgusting.
Oh,
so
I'll feel gross. It doesn't help.
It doesn't help.
It doesn't help me do it.
In fact, it makes it worse. Like, I sit there, I'm like, I feel so disgusting. Like, so
having at least dry shampoo is good for me to... Because then I'll feel at least a little better, and that's at least enough to... ironically get me to take a shower.
and that's why I like the little wipes, you know, because you don't have to bathe every day, but you should like wipe your groin and your armpits, like not in that order or with the same wipe.
Yeah, but, not with the same wipe.
But
unless you're going for that
face pits scented, groin you should at least wipe those down every day.
It's funny because yeah, the other thing that I put on the list that I know is also one of those things that you don't want to do when you're depressed is get out of the house and exercise a bit.
Yeah.
Just walk around a block. Yeah. Walk around the block. You don't have to go very far. Just move the body around.
A little bit. That's one of the reasons even if it's like just shit, like I'll try to go out and get food or something.
I'll walk down to the mailbox.
That'll get
or something.
Me out and like talking to another human being in some way.
Yeah. All right, let's end with an up note. We don't have time for sin story this week. So Jay Burke, we'll get to you
next week.
Yeah, we'll get to you next week. What is the least romantic gift you've gotten from a significant other that you wound up loving?
Oh, that you wound up loving. I was going to say, I got a Fitbit for my husband once. I was like, fuck you.
I had for the longest time, like, this rule against
sure it's
getting,
not
like,
your
domestic.
Kids?
I did want one.
Your kids image.
What'd you say?
I said your kids.
Oh, my kids.
I don't consider that much of a
practical
gift. I had to do all the work for that one.
I mean, what
does the father provide in this situation? Sperm. We all know what a challenge that is. I've been lugging these eggs around since before birth.
No, I think
I've always had a thing against getting
my husband's actually
domestic appliances or like household cleaning stuff like blenders and things like that. I used to get really offended about that. But then last year, the husband got me my little robot vacuum.
Yes.
And I was like, I love you so much. It changed my life.
I mean, like Travis and I we fucking just ask each other what we want. So, I mean, it's always been something I wanted. So, like, he got me a chair. I really wanted a chair. I loved my chair.
Your
he got
dog
me
chew?
Yeah, the one that the fucking dog chewed up. I love. That's why I said loved. Best tense.
Oh.
Now it's covered in duct tape to stop him from chewing the hole again. And covered in hair, but... Yeah, there's that, and he got me a KitchenAid mixer, and I fucking love that thing.
Oh yeah, I got that for Christmas one year, too.
He was making cookies last night.
Or was that
night,
a Valentine's Day gift?
He's like,
I got it for something random.
I think it was for our anniversary that I got mine, but yeah, he's like, I don't think I'm mixing this well enough. I'm like, why the fuck are you doing it by hand? Put it in the mixer!
Yeah.
It didn't
I mean,
but you know,
to give credit where credit was due, I did actually love my Fitbit, so I shouldn't be.
So there you go. Yours fit the most, you know, the best because you hated it and then you came to love it.
Yeah, well, I didn't hate it. I hated what it implied. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, that was that's my reason behind like I don't like household items as gifts. But
except now I mean I'm 42. We're fairly financially stable, like we literally don't need anything
exactly
anymore. Like, there's nothing that we need. So now we're just giving people, now we just give each other really, really sort of stupid gifts, which is great. Like, I got Jyn Erso, a Jyn Erso hot toy for Christmas this year, which is fantastic.
Oh.
And I gave Murray Voltron, the Lego Voltron set. That's what we give each other toys now. That's what we do.
I've scored for, because after Chief Season, giving him the cutlass for Chief Season, like, yeah. I've kind of like outdone myself. There's no going up from here. And but on the recommendation of a friend, I got my Navy Chief pre-diabetic husband this in. He's downstairs, so he can't hear me. This little Playmobil figure. It's of a pirate with a peg leg and a cutlass. and we're gonna put that on top of his birthday cake.
Oh, cute.
So
nice.
This little peg leg. Like, hey buddy. Anyway.
Oh, God.
So tell us what the worst gift that you ended up loving is.
Yeah, send it in to us.
Or the most pointed gift you've ever got that made you go, fine.
Yes, okay, I get it.
I guess. Send that to bibibicast@gmail.com.
You can also, provided Tumblr doesn't get rid of it or something. Bye.
Send all your Tumblr.com. Non-female presenting nippler questions.
Yeah, please don't send nipples. don't get that one banned. We need it. It's also my most not safe for work account. So it's on the thinnest ice. So.
Also, if you feel inclined to throw us a couple of dollars on Patreon, it's patreon.com/buybuybuy.
We're working on some great rewards for you guys. So
yes, we do need to get into that. We'll probably have to discuss that. Actually, you know, do some work.
What?
You can find you can find links to all that on the Tumblr as well. I've got links to the Twitter and the Patreon and everything.
And we will see you all next week.
Yay!
Bye bye bye.
Bye bye bye.
Bye bye bye.